Good morning. Kids, you're dismissed for children's church. And as they are going, if you'd turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, we're going to read through our text, which is 6 through 16. We'll read through that and we'll get into it. 1 Corinthians 2, 6 through 16. Paul says, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered the heart into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. I pray that you'll open our eyes and our hearts to understand what your Holy Spirit has for us today through our dear brother Paul and the teaching that he gave to this church in Corinth. And I pray that we can learn from it and grow from it and apply it to our own lives and our own church life here in Sterling today. Be with us as we search your word. In Jesus' name, amen. If you remember when Dan started this series out, he told us the church in Corinth was a church that allowed the world to influence the church instead of the church influencing the world. What a grave comment to have to even read this and realize that this is a church that the world is influencing instead of the world, instead of the church going out and influencing the world. Paul, in 1 Corinthians 1:10, right after his greeting to them, said, now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that you speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Paul wanted these believers to not have division. There's division among them, and they are, as we can see, as we've been seeing through these first couple chapters, they are very in love with their culture, with the great philosophers, the great teachers of their day. And Paul, and they even do that when it comes to their who they jump on. And we're going to look at that here in a minute. What they did with Paul and Apollos and Cephas, who they said they were. But Paul was interested in one thing and one thing alone when he came there. And in verse 5, Paul says he wanted the faith of these believers to rest in the power of God. What'd Paul say? He said, I am interested to know what you believe about Jesus Christ and him crucified. Paul didn't want to be known as the great philosopher, one of the great speakers of their time. He wanted to know Jesus Christ and him crucified. So he wanted their power to rest in God. And we're going to see today how he contrasts the wisdom of man with the wisdom of God, the power of God and the power of man, and what's going on here. So as you look at verse 6, Paul says, as we begin our text here, he says, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature. And who's he saying we? He's saying we speak wisdom. If you go back to 1 Corinthians 1:12, look at what he says. Now I say this, that of you, I am Paul, or I am of Paul, I am of Apollos, I am of Cephas, I am of Christ. Paul said, we don't want this. This isn't what we are. Paul, when he talked to them in verses 1 through 5, if you look in your Bible, I don't have it up here, but look at what he says in verses 1 through 5. I, brethren, when I came to you, didn't come with excellence of speech. I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, my speech, my preaching. Paul's speaking in first person there. He said, listen, when I came here, I didn't come here to be glorified. I wanted to know Christ and him crucified. And now he's saying in verse 6, however, we speak wisdom. So if you remember last week, I remember the title of Dan's message last week was, the preacher should not be greater than his message. So the pastor, the preacher, shouldn't be greater than his message. Paul is living this out right here. He's not saying, however, I speak wisdom of God. These guys all jumped on Paul, on Paul himself, Apollos, Cephas, Peter, and of Christ. I'm of this guy, that guy. These guys, these Corinthian believers loved the praise of men. They loved standing. I'm with Paul. And Paul said, we don't want that. Any one of these guys that would have come and spoke would have said, we speak wisdom among those who are mature. And he goes on to say, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. He says, I feel like Paul is saying here, you guys want wise speak? You guys want really mature speaking knowledge? Okay, I'll give it to you, but you're not going to get it. You're not going to get it at the amphitheater. You're not going to get it at the forum. You're not going to get it at the temple of Aphrodite, because all of that, he says in verse 6, is coming to nothing. All of that teaching is earthly. It's man's wisdom, and it has nothing to do with eternal teaching that we have in Christ. And I want to drop back and look at how Paul reminds these believers in 1 Corinthians 4:6. If we can put that up there. 1 Corinthians 4:6. When Paul came to these believers, right after his greeting, if you look up here, he says, I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given to you by Christ Jesus, that you were enriched in everything by him in all utterances and all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Paul's wanting these believers to see, hey, you guys are rich in all knowledge, in all utterances. You are enamored and in love with all of these philosophers and these great speakers from your town, from this city. And there were a lot of great ones. I'm sure there was a lot of wise men speaking in that day, and they were so they wanted that so bad. And Paul saying, when he's thanking for me, he's saying, I'm thankful for you, what you have in Christ Jesus. You're rich in everything in him, in all words, in all knowledge. He's wanting them to know, this is the knowledge we want to go after. This is what we're searching for, is God's wisdom. All the teaching, he says in verse 6, is coming to nothing. He says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. In verse 7 and 8, in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which is the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew. For had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. After Paul's told them exactly what they are in Christ, when he said, hey, you are rich in Christ. Can you hear his tone in verse 8 here? Had they known this, they wouldn't have crucified the Lord of glory. The very people that you guys love so much, and that you want to hear these philosophers, these great speakers, crucified the very one that should be most precious to you. And he's saying, in him, when he reminded them in his opening talk, he said, You're rich in everything that he has to offer. You got it all there. So Paul, calling out the rulers of that age for their wisdom. Their wisdom was so wise that they crucified the very Christ, the very one that was ordained from ages past by God himself. Paul speaks of that in verse 7, the hidden mystery, the wisdom of God in mystery, hidden wisdom. What is the mystery, the hidden wisdom of God? Colossians 1, 26 and 27 says this, the mystery which has been hidden from the ages and from generations but now has been revealed to his saints, to them God willed to make known that what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. Here it is, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus Christ, we know that in the fullness of time, Jesus Christ came. He was that revealed mystery that was hidden from ages, from those Old Testament saints and believers. They looked to that, but at the proper time, Jesus Christ came, and he was revealed in time. And we're going to go on to see what Paul teaches here about not only Jesus Christ, but the Spirit of God as well. And we'll look at what Christ has to say about that himself personally in a minute. But Paul goes on to say here, and he quotes Isaiah in verse 9, Isaiah 64:4, this is what verse 9 in your text says, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by the ear, nor has the eye seen any God beside you who acts for the one who waits for him. How Paul says it, eye has not seen nor has ear heard the things which God has prepared for those who love him. And obviously Isaiah was talking to the nation of Israel and looking to that day when God is going to do things that they haven't even thought of in their heart concerning him. But Paul's using it in this context for these believers. For these believers, eye has not seen, ear hasn't heard. It hasn't entered into our hearts. And Isaiah says, besides you, who acts for the one who waits for him? Nor I have seen any God beside you who acts for the one who waits for him. And who I thought of as I was reading through this, I thought of Noah. And this Noah was years before Isaiah even wrote this. But Noah waited for God. Noah loved God. Genesis tells us that God had grace on Noah. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, and he listened to the word of God. God told Noah to build an ark for his safety, for his family and him to be saved, and whoever wanted in there to come in. He was going to destroy the world. He was going to destroy the world. Noah had no idea the things, he couldn't have imagined in his heart the things that God had planned for him just because he loved him. Do you think Noah, as he was building the ark, said, you know, every human being that will ever live on earth will be my descendant. Everyone that lives today or ever will live is descended from Noah because he loved God, because he obeyed God. I think of this passage here, and as we look at Paul saying this to these Corinthian believers, we don't have any idea. We can't think in our minds and our hearts what the Lord has for us if we love God, if we are mature, and if we are spiritual toward God. Noah surely didn't sit and preach that. See, I'm sure he didn't say, I am going to be a type of Messiah here. Come to the ark. Come to the ark and be saved. He was just getting in the boat to not die in the flood like everyone else, but recognized, I'm sure, that loving the Lord so much, he was so blessed in all that he had. So eye had not seen, ear had not heard what God has prepared for those who love him. Noah, just one example. We can see it through the Old Testament scriptures, and Paul using it here in this context in the church and in our own lives, in the life of our own church. Do we love God? Do we love God? Are we excited to see what God would have prepared for this fellowship of believers right here if we love God and understand his wisdom and not be concerned with the philosophies and the wisdom of the world around us. A lot of good wisdom comes from man's mind, but it's not eternal wisdom if it's not grounded in the Word of God. Paul says here, it's coming to nothing. It's coming to nothing. So Paul here contrasting God's wisdom with man's wisdom. He goes on in to verses 10 and 11 and says, but God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. God has revealed them to us. What has God revealed to us? What's He revealed to us? He's revealed to us His wisdom. Paul's saying He's revealed, you know, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, not the wisdom of this age, but the wisdom of God. That's what He's revealed to us. And He revealed to it at the proper time. And they are just at this beginning point in the church where God has revealed His mystery. Jesus Christ was here. And then we're going to see that His Spirit as well. But God revealed to them His wisdom and all that is prepared for those who love Him. If you look back at verse 7, at the end of verse 7, it says, look at this comment here at the end of verse 7. The hidden wisdom of which God ordained before the ages for our glory. He's prepared this. God has revealed this to us for our glory, for our benefit. And what is that? That's Christ. That's Christ in us, His Holy Spirit, the very power of God. And ultimately, He's revealed this in us for our glory so that we can glorify God. And God can be glorified through us, that we have this. The Lord Jesus talks about this. He says the very thing about this in John 15:26. When we talk about the fullness of time, Jesus being brought, coming as the second part of the Godhead, triune Godhead. Here we're going to read in John 15 and John 16 the triuneness of God and how wonderfully beautiful it is and how it is something that is so attacked even today, that God is not a triune God. He is just one God. But His triuneness is amazing. And we see Jesus Himself speaking of it. Look at what Jesus Himself says. He says, of the Holy Spirit, when the Helper, the Holy Spirit, comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, He will testify of me. Look at what He says in the next chapter, chapter 16. Jesus saying this, and He's talking to His disciples right here, the 11. This is after Judas has already betrayed Him and left. He's talking to His disciples. I still have many things to say to you, but you can't bear them now. However, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak. And He will tell you things to come. Now, how many of you have heard people teach, the Holy Spirit is just a powerful force, just a good feeling in us, not an actual person of God, not an actual part of the triunity of God. There's teaching out there that says that. Well, what's Jesus say of the Spirit? I still have many things to say to you. However, when the force comes, the force will guide you. It doesn't say that. When He comes, the Spirit of truth, He will guide you. For He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come. The Holy Spirit of God is a beautiful picture of the triuneness of God. And the Lord Jesus teaching here, exactly what Paul is diving into and teaching here to the Corinthians in these verses 10 through 12. He's telling them that God's revealed them to us through His Spirit. Jesus saying the Spirit is coming. And as I think about just from our human point of view of how triune God is so amazing, Jesus taught this to His disciples when they were on earth with him. And here Paul is in 1 Corinthians teaching this. Paul wasn't with the Lord Jesus. As a matter of fact, our dear brother Paul at this point was Saul of Tarsus, who, if had the opportunity, would have killed this whole group. He would have drug them into prison at the very least and had them imprisoned. He wasn't there getting this teaching. So, you know, if John or if James or Jude or one of these other, Peter, one of these other writers would have wrote this, we would have said, well, they were there. They got this right from the Lord Jesus. Paul wasn't there. He didn't hear this teaching. And yet his teaching lines up exactly with what Jesus taught the disciples right here. How? How did that happen? I mean, did Paul get lucky enough? Because Paul, when he gives his testimony in Galatians 1, you can read it in verses 10 to the end of the chapter, he said, I didn't learn this by flesh and blood. He said, I didn't study under the apostles. After he got saved, he didn't go study under these men. The Spirit of God taught him. The Spirit of God taught him these things. And as I think about that, I'm thinking, how awesome is the triuneness of God, that the Holy Spirit of God, Jesus, while he was here on earth, come in the fullness of time, and it didn't all just happen right then when Jesus came to earth. Go back and look at what verse 7 says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages. So God ordained this before the ages. Jesus showed up at the proper time. And then Jesus said, another one is coming. The Spirit of God himself is coming to abide in you. And when I leave, he will be there. Paul got this taught to him from the Holy Spirit of God. And it's just amazing to see. And what I was going to say was, there is no way that these guys could have all just got so lucky and put this all together and taught this to where there's no discrepancies at all. Paul wasn't there with Jesus. He was taught this by the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus, being God, taught these disciples who became the apostles. It's a beautiful picture of how God scripted this whole thing and ordained it from eternity past. This didn't just happen all of a sudden. Jesus didn't just show up on the scene and it just happened to all work out. This has been ordained from times past. And Paul is wanting these Corinthian believers who are so in love with philosophies to realize, listen, do you understand the power you have in you? Do you understand what we have in us with the Spirit of God? He goes on to give an example, an analogy of a man in our spirit. He says in verse 11, for what man knows the things of man except the spirit of the man which is in him? You think about that. You think of the closest person you know. And I have to go to my wife, Julie. I know her as good as I know anyone. She knows me as good as she knows anyone, but only as much as we share with one another, as we give each other. She doesn't know the inner thinkings of my spirit, of who I am in my conscience. I don't know the inner person, her, at the core of who she is, unless she shares that with me. And Paul is using that as an example of, listen, this is the Holy Spirit. Look at what he says in verse 10. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. The Holy Spirit of God is God, and he knows the deep things of the Father, every part of the Father. And what Paul is wanting them to see is that is the Spirit that resides in you. That's the Spirit that resides in us when we believe. When we believe in Jesus, when we believe in the ordained plan that God had from eternity past, that God has from eternity past, when we believe in that, his Son Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit, we have the Spirit of God in us and able to know the things of God. He says, even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God in verse 11. Just an amazing thing how we can know that. And if you look back at verse 7 again, I keep going back to verse 7. It says, this was ordained before the ages for our glory. Verse 7 says it was ordained before the ages for our glory. We have the Spirit of God in us for our glory, for our benefit. It is a wonderful gift of that. I like the wording in the New King James here. It says in verse 12, but the Spirit who is from, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. How many of us love, when we talk about what's been freely given to us by God, our minds immediately go to the free gift of eternal life? And who of us as believers, that's just an amazing free gift. I mean, what a precious gift that is. But in this context even, we have the amazing gift of the Holy Spirit in us that we can know the mind of God. We can know the deep things of the Father through the word that's revealed here. And even as you think of us, and as you think of Paul teaching this to the Corinthians, we are in a better standing even than them. They didn't have the completed word of God. We have the complete word of God. God has given us everything that he wants us to have through his word so that we can know him, as well as indwelling us with the very Spirit of himself. We have the Spirit of God in us to be able to understand the deep things of God, and we get that through his word. It's just an awesome, awesome thing that we have. But we love the free gift of eternal life. We have the free gift of the Holy Spirit. And so many times we don't think of the free gift of God's word. We have the gift of God's word so that we can know him and come to know him. And that's what he wants. And that's what he's talking about here. He's talking about a spiritual man. In these verses right here, Paul is contrasting a spiritual man. And in the next ones, he's going to contrast with a natural man. What's a spiritual man look like? A spiritual man is one who is mature, who knows the wisdom of God. Verse 13, Paul goes on and says, these things we also speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual with spiritual. Spiritual things with spiritual. And the Spirit of God guided the choice of the words the writers wrote of the Word of God, and the words came from spiritual truths from God himself, thus comparing spiritual things with spiritual. This is Paul's given us a good example of how the writers, the authors here, received the Word of God. Let me say that again. The Spirit of God guided the choice of words the writers wrote, and the words came from spiritual truth from God himself, thus comparing spiritual things to spiritual. So there was no Paul, all the apostles, the prophets, the patriarchs that wrote the Word of God received exactly what God wanted them to receive and wrote it down exactly in the way that he wanted them to get it perfectly. And we have that before us. He says the same thing in 2 Timothy 3:16. We know this is a verse we use often about Scripture, and it's all Scripture is given by God's inspiration. And we can see there what it's all profitable for. But God, all Scripture is God-inspired, and he gave it to these men. Peter says the same thing about this in 2 Peter. He says, for prophecy never came by the will of man. Again, saying the very same thing that Paul's saying here. But holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. It's exactly how we got the word. And Paul's saying, these things we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. So Paul has laid out for the Corinthian believers here what a spiritual man, what a spiritual person is to look like. And what is that? What does a spiritual person, what does a spiritual man look like? He says he's mature in his understanding of God's wisdom. Understands God's wisdom, and he believes the ordained mystery of God, that the ordained mystery of God was revealed in his Son, Jesus Christ, and through his Holy Spirit. That's what Paul wants of these believers. He wants them to be spiritual, be spiritually mature, and understand the wisdom of God. Let this stuff you're hearing out here go. Understand the wisdom that you have in God and the Holy Spirit of God that you have in you. And we see him comparing that right here. He goes on in verse 14 and says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. So we see him contrasting the spiritual man with the natural man. Spiritual man believes, understands, is mature in his thinking when it comes to the wisdom of God. Natural man has no understanding, doesn't believe in the things, in the preordained things by God that he gave to him. And, you know, as we go through this, Paul's laying this out, and I want to take a minute right here and say, if you're here today or if you're listening today and you're thinking, you know what, I've not really ever thought about spiritual things. I've not really come to believe all this stuff that is talked about the Lord Jesus in the Bible. Well, that puts you in this natural man state where you are not able to discern the things of wisdom, the wisdom of God, because you don't have the Holy Spirit of God in you. How do you get that? Romans 10:17 says this, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word of God. So as we're talking about God ordaining and planning this perfect plan of his, and Jesus Christ coming to earth when he came 2,000 years ago. Why did he come? He came to be the sacrifice and to shed his blood for the sin of mankind and to be the perfect atoning work for us so that we can, through him, come back to the Father. And Jesus says this of himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. And just as Paul said in Romans, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of truth. So if you're here today and you've never believed that Jesus, through his death, burial, and resurrection, has made it possible for us to come to the Father, you need to believe that today. He tells us in Romans that we've all sinned. The reason we need a Savior is because of sin. We've all sinned, and we've fallen short of God's glory. And having heard the truth, which is, I'm a sinner, I have no way to get to God the Father. Jesus Christ provided that way for me through his death, through his burial, his resurrection, through his shed blood, provided a way for me back to the Father. Having heard that truth, I've got a choice to make. Am I going to believe that? Am I going to believe that this is God's ordained plan from the ages past? If you believe that today, praise the Lord. We want you to believe that today. But if you believe that today, you have the Holy Spirit of God in you, and you are set from a natural man now to a man that has the Spirit of God in you, and you are able to grow and become that mature spiritual man that Paul's speaking of and wants. But believe in the Lord Jesus today. If you haven't believed in him, we would love for you to understand that. If you have any questions, talk to someone that brought you, or you can come up and talk to me afterwards. I'd love to talk more with you about what it means to come to know Jesus in a saving way. Verse 15, Paul says this, but he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Paul tells Timothy and Titus, when he's talking in the context of what an elder should be, he tells them that one of the qualifications for an elder is to be blameless, to be above reproach. And as you read this verse here in verse 15, it says, but he who is spiritual, so he who understands, what's a spiritual man? A mature man who understands God's wisdom. He who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. Meaning what? Meaning that spiritual man is above reproach, is blameless before God. So that is Paul's calling the Corinthian believers to be. Be blameless. Be above reproach. Be a spiritually mature person. He goes on to say, for who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Again here, quoting from Isaiah, Paul quoting from Isaiah a couple times in just this passage. Isaiah 40, when who has known the mind of God? Who did the Lord consult when he created this earth? In eternity past, as creator, who did he consult? And the obvious answer is not man. Here we are this big. I remember Dr. Stepanek came several years back, and he gave a video presentation. He was with the Institute in Creation Research. Is that Institute ICR? Alpha Omega, I'm sorry. I knew I wasn't getting that right. I knew Mike would know. Anyway, he put up a video screen in up here on this screen right here in a pretty much scale model. The sun and all of our solar system, and Earth was just such a tiny dot on this screen, you couldn't hardly see it. Who did God consult on that little piece of dirt right there in the solar system when he created us? No, he didn't consult us. Man was not able to instruct him. We weren't big enough to instruct him. It was out of our realm to instruct him. And likewise, Paul's saying here, but we have the mind of Christ. A spiritual man, a spiritual woman has the mind of Christ. Who instructs him? And in this context, certainly not a natural man. A natural man, an unbeliever, does not instruct a spiritual man. And Paul wants these believers to recognize you should be spiritual believers to where you're wanting to get all of your wisdom and knowledge from the culture around you. They're not even able to instruct you. Man's not big enough to instruct eternal God. The natural man is not able to instruct the spiritual man on the wisdom of God and on wisdom, on true wisdom. And that's what Paul wanted these believers to get. Where do we go by way of application with all of this and action and challenge and all of these things? And I think we need to strive to be spiritual men and women in our church here. As this teaching is going to unfold in Corinthians, when you're not spiritually minded, when you're not, when I want to get my wisdom from the world around me, from man's wisdom, it creates all kinds of conflict in the local church. If I'm not going to be a spiritual man and strive to be a spiritual man, mature in my understanding of God's wisdom, it's going to affect my interpersonal relationships here. And that's what Paul is going to call these believers to guard against. He's going to call them out quite pointedly here in the chapters to come. But as we think about that in our own local fellowship, what kind of testimony do we have among each other and in our community? And when each one of us are striving to be spiritual and mature believers, we will look like the church that God has ordained and that God has planned for his glory. And that's what he wants. So that's what we need to strive for. I tell you what, I love Sunday school. And today in Sunday school, we got challenged and to to ask one another, hey, how did you walk in the Spirit this week? You know what? I was sitting there going, he's looking at me. I didn't ask anybody that. But what a challenge that was. That was a great challenge by Ben in our Sunday school class today through Luke. Do we ask one another that? Do we challenge one another to be spiritual men and women? We should be doing that with one another. And the comment was made was, that is such a, it's almost like an embarrassing question when we get it asked of us. And it shouldn't be. As spiritual men and women, I should have you come up to me saying, hey, how are you walking in the Spirit this week? And I should be, well, let me tell you, I struggled with it this week. Or it was wonderful this week. It doesn't all have to be perfect stories. I mean, we struggle, but when we come here, we should be meeting and encouraging one another. And it was just a great challenge from Sunday school that I thought, wow, what a application point that can be, even for me, with what Paul taught here. He wants us to be spiritually minded. How can we use this week? We've heard so many pleas for everyone to go help with Todd Becker. If you're a spiritual person and you're inclined and your desire is to share Christ with people, the saving message of Jesus Christ, there's opportunity this week. You can talk to Nate. I think he's got yet another training tonight if you want to go to and be trained and become a part of that. And a spiritual man and woman, we should desire to share the life-saving message with the natural people, the ones that don't know the wisdom of God. So do that this week. I'm going to give you a teaser for next week so you can come back. We want you to come back anyway, but here's a teaser. 1 Corinthians 3:1. Paul just got done talking about spiritual believers. Here's what he's diving into next week with these Corinthians. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. Come back next week, and I'm sure Dan is going to teach us through this passage. Father, we thank you so much for your word, for your awesome triuneness. We thank you for the Holy Spirit of God that you've given to us, that we can know who you are, Father. We thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, for his shed blood on Calvary, for his life, and that he gives life. Father, we thank you for your word. Let us be spiritual men and women this week. In Jesus' name, amen.